whenever we gather together in the name of the Lord to come together to look into his holy word, there should be expectation in our hearts that God is going to speak to me and you, to you and me. And so we come with that anticipation. And if you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn with me today to Isaiah. We are still here in Isaiah, but we're coming close to the end. We're in chapter 62 today, chapter 62 in Isaiah. And as we have been reminded, this is the Bible within the Bible. There's 66 chapters in Isaiah, and in the Bible, there's 66 books. And there's 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. Of course, you knew that. And in Isaiah, if you study it, you know, the first 39 really deal with judgment and just a hard word. And then from chapter 40 to 66, it's the revelation really of hope and looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. And so we're in chapter 62 this morning. Let's pray as we look into the word this morning. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that today you will captivate our thoughts and our hearts and our minds, that you will draw us into your presence in such a way that we hear from you. We are looking forward to hearing from you, your word expressed to us today, and help us to respond in faith and obedience. And Lord, we thank you for the truth that you reveal in your holy word. And we thank you for the transformational work that your Holy Spirit does in our lives. Thank you for being here. Thank you for what you're going to do in these moments. And we give you glory and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Kind of an interesting title as I have read chapter 62 and prayed through it. I just come away with this phrase, God is happy with you. Now, there's so many ways I can go off on this title because of my randomness. And one was thinking about singing that song, Happy, 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 and so forth. But I want to share a little bit about Ted. This black and white picture is a picture of my dad. And the older teenage-looking guy is my brother, Mark. And the cute little guy is me. And my dad, in this picture, really encapsulates what I think about him. He is happy in this moment. There were times when my father was not happy. And oh, you would know it. The ground would shake. The earth would tremble. Because as I've shared with you before, my dad was sort of like, he was a follower of Jesus. He loved the Lord. But he was a combo of Jackie Gleason on the Honeymooners and Archie Bunker on All in the Family. Put that together with a love for Jesus and you have my father. There's a dear, beloved gentleman that was in this congregation that is, I believe, with the Lord today, and he reminded me of my dad, and it was Nancy's dad, and because he had that gruffness about him, you know, you'd come up to him, and you ask him how he is, and he'd tell you straight up how he was doing, and if he wasn't happy with the pastor, he would let the pastor know, but my dad loved Jesus. He loved his family. There wasn't anything he wouldn't do for his sons. They both sacrificed for my brother and I. And in many ways, probably in ways I don't know. But I'm grateful to God to know that. Now, some of us here this morning, I recognize that maybe your earthly father, he didn't have that relationship. There was only two times that I remember Dad spanked me. Ooh, I said that word. And it was one too many. I didn't want him to ever spank me again. I got my lesson. I learned it well. If you want to know the incident, well, disobeyed. He told me not to go in the swimming pool. They had just built a built-in swimming pool in the backyard, and I walked to elementary school. I was in third grade. You know, I was all independent as a third grader, and I told my buddy, I'm coming home. It was hot, and I'm going to jump in the swimming pool. And he said, no, you're not. You're going to get in trouble because I know what your dad said. I said, doesn't matter. I'm going to jump in the pool. And, of course, I jumped in the pool. When my mom got home from work and discovered that I was all wet, she goes, wait till your father comes home. Ooh, she did. And guess what? My dad gave me a spanking. Not just a little tap, but with his belt. And I remember it. I didn't want anything else. But I knew he loved me because he wanted me to know that obedience is important. He wanted me to know that, you know, danger could have happened in that pool. I could have drowned. He wanted me to know. He had his best interests at heart for me. The other picture is my mom and my dad's mom in the middle there, and then my dad, and that was at our wedding. And they drove all the way from Jacksonville, Florida, to the foreign country of Maine and to experience that joyful occasion. I tell you that because I ask you this question. How do you know if God is happy with you? We may not like that question. We may think, well, God is never happy with me because I never measure up. There's nothing I can do to earn his happiness, so he is displeased with me. And we just put God on the shelf. We ignore him altogether. Or we may even go further. Oh, God is out to get me. You know, he's got it in for me because nothing goes right in my life. Nothing. You know, I get up in the morning, I stumble and break a toe. I just, you know, I fall and slip. Nothing goes right, and I'm miserable. God doesn't like me. He's not happy with me. How do you know if God is happy with you? Marshall Siegel is the executive director of Desiring God, and he wrote this about this idea of God's happiness. He says, our God is happy in himself, and he does all that he pleases, and nothing happens that he has not chosen to happen. So at some level, he is always and only pleased with all of history. It is, after all, his story. This is really good news for sinners looking for hope and true happiness. Take heart that God adopts the humble into his family, and his holy hatred no longer rests on you. And be happy. God is happy in himself, who he is, and what he's accomplished. And through the saving work of Christ, he welcomes us all into his full and lasting happiness. Now, some of us might say, well, if God is happy, is he up there in heaven just strolling along, singing a song, and not even worrying about you and me? No, that's not God. God is bigger than we ever can think or imagine. Yeah, we try to put him in a box in our finite thinking, oh, this is God, this is who he is, this is what I know about him. And he does reveal enough of who he is for us to know him and to know him more from his word. But it's going to take all of eternity and then some to discover all of who God is. God is happy because, as Marshall says, well, he's happy with himself, and therefore he can express his love and his mercy and his faithfulness to humanity so that mankind could come to know him through faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, there's only one way to heaven, to eternity with God. One way. Not multiple ways, one way. Only one. And I hope you made that decision. That one way is through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus didn't say, I am a multiple of choices for you to choose, A, B, or C. No, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The psalmist knew of this truth in Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Hebrews states this in 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. This is crucial. To answer that question, is God happy with me or is God happy with you? Because we like to point at others, don't we? Is God happy with you? I know he's happy with me. Is he happy with you? Is God happy with you? We have to have faith. We have to have a relationship with God. And it comes by faith. It comes by faith. We must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. This is a beautiful verse. If you ever get down, discouraged, depressed, feeling defeated, feeling alone, this is a good verse. God still loves you and cares for you. He's thinking of you. In Zephaniah, it says this, the Lord, your God, is in your midst. He's a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Just think, the creator who made heaven and earth, who spoke something out of nothing, is singing over you this morning. And he's singing songs, I believe, of gladness and happiness. He's not singing songs like, you done me wrong, I'm going to get you good. No. He's singing songs of happiness, especially if you have that relationship with him through Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Not just intellectually. Not just saying, well, I believe that Jesus is the center of Christianity, and it is believed that he was born somewhere and everything, then time turns around him and he was crucified around AD 33. You know, we believe thereabouts. And some Christians, you know, they celebrate his birth at Christmas time and his resurrection at Easter. We can know a lot of stuff about him, but do we really know him? Do we know him? He wants to be known by you and me. Jesus heard this when he was baptized by John. And behold, a voice from heaven, that was his father. And his father said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Now, some of us in our skepticism might say, well, that was Jesus. Of course, God's going to be pleased with Jesus. But that's not me. Oh, the enemy would love for you to believe that. The enemy would love for you to hang on to that. But, oh, child of God, if you have put your faith in Christ alone as Savior and Lord, and you're trusting in him today, the old is gone, the new has come, and you're no longer alone, unloved, no longer a cesspool of wickedness. You are been bought with a price, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who died and rose again and is coming again. And guess what? He's washed you. He's washed you. He's washed you. And he's made you clean. So clean. So clean. And he's made you new. given you a new nature, desire for righteousness, a desire for right thinking, a desire for serving others, a desire for praising Him, a desire for loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength instead of loving yourself and sin. He's done all that because He is happy with you. A blogger by the name of Abby McDonald of Proverbs 31 Ministry says this: as followers of Jesus, a healthy faith is a forward-moving one. It is not an aspect of our life that stays dormant or a part of us reserved for the pew on Sunday. To experience the fullness of Christ, our faith needs to carry over into every aspect of our lives. Our faith needs to carry over into every aspect of our lives, our relationships, our day-to-day interactions with others, our work and our families. What is Abby saying? Abby is saying, I've come to know Christ, and I know that God is pleased with me. It doesn't mean that I've got everything right, got everything perfect, got everything figured out. It's not based on God's happiness over you this morning. It's not based on your behavior. That's hard for us to handle. It's based on God's character, on who He is. He is love, and He loves you. He made you in His likeness, Scripture tells us, in His image. He loves you. So here it is, okay? How do you know if God is happy with you? I believe God is happy with you because of your relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Deep is God's love for you and me. Deep is His love for you and me. When God the Father, I believe, when God the Father looks down from heaven and He sees you, guess what? And you've put your faith and trust in Jesus? Guess what? He sees His Son in you. He sees Jesus in you, the hope of glory. Now, you may not feel it. You may be woken up on the other side of the bed and you're just dwelling in the land of grumpiness. But God is wanting to do a new work in you that gives you a new song to sing because He's delighting in you and He loves you because you've put your faith and trust in Him. You've been bought with a price. You are being changed. You are being transformed into the likeness of Christ. We forget that, don't we? So, God is happy with me. When I look at this passage, this is what I see, that God is happy with me because of His Son, Jesus Christ. Isaiah reveals that through the whole chapter, he tells God's people, your God is happy with you because of God's covenant. He expresses a divine proclamation, a royal transformation, a holy confirmation, a promised restoration. Deep is His love. So I want you to say that first phrase with me. God is happy with me because of a divine proclamation. Let's say all that together. God is happy with me because of a divine proclamation. Now, some of you may have gotten that. Some of you didn't. But in verses 1 and 2, notice what Isaiah says here. Isaiah says, in verses 1 and 2, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication and all kings your glory. You'll be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. What is Isaiah saying here? He's saying deep. Some commentators believe it was him speaking, and if it is, there should be that desire in of us to have that same passion for others who don't know Jesus yet. Isaiah was saying, oh, how I long, I'm going to shout it out. I'm not going to stop telling others. I'm going to proclaim it. I want God to bring salvation to his people, to his nation. I want all kings to see his glory. I want them to experience for themselves to be called a new name. A new name. I love that gospel song. There's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. God has given you, believer in Christ, a new name. And we should have that passion for others. That means that even as an intercessor, as a prayer warrior, how can I proclaim today for others what God has done in me? First of all, it's by telling others or sharing others or just living life among the community so that they will see the light of Christ in me, the hope of glory shining through. And as they do, God will begin to work. God will begin to work. But there's also that blessed ministry of prayer that God gives us as believers. We can intercede. We can pray. We can pray not just on Sunday morning. We can pray 24/7 every day of the week, 24 hours a day. We can intercede. Lord, I long for the people in my neighborhood. I long for the people in my community. I long for the people in my city. I long for the people in my county. I long for the people who I work with. I long for so-and-so. You know, that person who's filled with grumpiness all the time. I long for them to find you, to discover that new name written down in glory so they can experience the joy of the Lord. And until we are gripped with that passion, that love and that desire to intercede for lost humanity, there is this, maybe this complacency that comes in. I don't believe God is happy with me. Look at the world. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face, we can be participants in this divine proclamation that God has established since the foundation of the world. And we can do that by interceding for those around us. Isaiah is speaking here, but it's also prophetic of the Messiah, Jesus. Of Jesus speaking a divine proclamation. Remember the story where Jesus came to the city of Jerusalem outside and he said, "Oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how I long to gather you together as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings." The next phrase is heart-wrenching because it says, Jesus says, "But you were not willing." If you've never made that commitment to Christ, never expressed in your life and your heart that desire to, "God, I want to know you by placing my faith and trust in Jesus. I recognize that he's the way, the truth, and the life." Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day God is offering you to enter into a relationship with him to discover how he is delighting in you. And maybe, believer, if you're discovering in your walk today that you don't experience that joy of the Lord, that you don't think God cares about you, that he's forgotten you, that you think life is just a drag, maybe you need to get alone with God and allow his Holy Spirit to bring healing as you confess your weaknesses, your shortcomings, yes, even your lack of faith, and allow him to begin to move and work in you in new ways never before. Because God loves you. The second one is really good. I think. I like the picture. Say it with me. God is happy with me because of a royal transformation. You're all asleep. Let's say that God is happy with me because of a royal transformation. He is. Isaiah here pictures a wedding, and that it is a wedding, and he's saying that Israel, the people of God, are his bride, and God is so excited because of the transformation. Now, for some of you who've experienced marriage, and you've experienced that joyful occasion, you can remember back when of trying to make the bride, if you were the bride, trying to make yourself beautiful, gorgeous, stunning, because everybody's going to be looking at you, right? I'm not going to ask the question, have you ever seen an ugly bride? But God, in his analogy of Scripture, uses a wedding as this royal transformation for the people of God. God says, I'm so happy with you, I want to marry you because I delight in you, because I love you. And you know what? I know all about you. In fact, people of God, I know you're filthy. In fact, he goes further here. He knows that Israel had been unfaithful. He knows Israel had been dirty and sinful. He knows that Israel has been wretched, pitiful, and poor and unworthy. But God still receives her and does a transformation in her life to make her the most beautiful bride ever. And, oh, believer in Christ, we are part of the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ, as Paul talks about in Ephesians. And he's working in you a beautiful work to present us as the body of Christ, pure, blameless, and holy in his sight, a royal transformation, like a bride coming down the aisle that's looking gorgeous. We got married 4 years ago, right? Something like that, she can remember. And she was running late, not by her fault. Her dad loved to talk, and he was just having the time of his life, and he was talking to everybody at the church, but the bride wasn't there. What happened was, Dad finally remembered, and so he went and got her, and they were in a hurry, and one of her friends said, oh, well, I'll do your makeup, and I'll do your hair, and they put a bunch of makeup on her, and they did her hair, and you know, and it was transformational because she never wore that much makeup or had her hair that way. And I had no clue, and she came walking down the aisle looking like that. And I was like, wow. Wow. I still am. Wow. I really am. God loves you. And when he looks at you, you know what he says? Wow. 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 Now, the enemy of our soul says, no way, Jose. But God says, oh, yeah, I'll prove it to you. I'll give my one and only son to die on the cross for you so that you will know how much I love you. How much I love you. Royal transformation. I like the way the message states the verse. Because if God delights in you, and your land will be like a wedding celebration. For as a young man marries his virgin bride, so your builder marries you. And as a bridegroom is happy in his bride, so your God is happy with you. Isn't that wonderful? That is so good. So good. Okay, third. Read it together with me. God is happy with me because of a holy confirmation. We see this in verse 6. God speaks through Isaiah, and he's speaking here. He says, I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You who called on the Lord gives yourself no rest and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, never again will I give your grain as food for your enemies, and never again will foreigners drink the new wine for which you have toiled. But those who harvest it will eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather the grapes will drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. A confirmation. God Almighty is saying here, you are my beloved, you are mine, I am yours, I'm going to take care of you, I'm going to protect you, I'm going to provide for you. How am I going to protect you? Well, there's a watchman watching out for you, looking out for you, and I'm going to protect you. How am I going to provide for you? Your enemy's not going to steal from you any longer. You are going to be provided for always. The Lord God Almighty is committed to you. And out of all of that protection and out of that provision, because you're remaining with him and you have that relationship with him and you are abiding in his presence, that will result in praise to the Lord. Praise you, God. Praise you for your protection. Praise you for your provision. Praise you for your presence. It works in me this work that you are confirming in me. Now, for the believer in Christ, I believe that is true. And then also prophetically, there is that side that yes, God is still for his people, all people, those who come to know him by faith in Christ alone. He is for you. But he's still for Israel as well. Fourth, God is happy with me because of a promised restoration. Let's read that together. God is happy with me because of a promised restoration. Verses 10 through 12. Guess what? Good days are ahead. Say, what? Have you looked at the headlines? Have you heard the news? Are you seeing what's going on in this great nation of ours called America, United States, and the world today? And you're saying good days are going to come? Are you nuts? What did they put in your coffee, Pastor Ted? I look as a follower of Jesus, and I long for his coming. And I know that when he returns, he will make everything right. And it will be right. And it will be just. And it will be good. Because he is. And when he comes again, the word tells us that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. There will be a new Jerusalem. There is a promised restoration of Jesus coming again. And those of us who have put our faith and trust in him, we will never be separated from God. We will be with him. There will be no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. And we will experience the joy of the Lord, his continual happiness, his continual delight in you. And that will well in us, well up in us, this continual worship of praise and adoration to God for who he is. And we can exclaim with the angels and the cherubim, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. And why can I shout that from the rooftops? Because God
is happy with those who have put their faith and trust in Christ alone as Savior and Lord. And he's changed us from the inside out. And he's made us new. And you may scratch your head and say, I don't know how that's possible. Exactly, because he's God and you're not. And it takes a step of faith, a step of belief. So often we rationalize and we intellectualize and we even emotionalize and we allow all that, even imagination eyes, if that's a word, and we allow all that to keep us from developing faith in Christ. And all God says, it says, listen to my son who says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isaiah says here, there's coming a great day, a promised restoration. Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Clear it of stones, lift up a signal over the peoples. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. And they shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. Wow. What a change. What a hope. All because God is happy with you. Happy with you. How do I know that? What did God do? What did God do for you? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever, you mean that person down the street that just hates my guts and mean to me and cusses at me and you just gives me the Hawaiian greeting sign, whosoever. You mean that person that has the opposite political view that I have and I just can't rationalize in my thinking what they're thinking? And man, they are bizarre. Whosoever. You mean that person who's got multitudes of money and seems to be selfish and stingy, doesn't care about the poor? Whosoever. You mean that person that's dealing with an addiction of alcoholism or drugs? Whosoever. Whosoever believes in him, in Jesus, will have everlasting life. I know God delights in his people because of who he is. So the question before we come to communion is, what is God saying to me from his word? And how will I respond? Rick Warren says, God loves you so much that he sent Jesus on a mission of love with a message of love. The Bible doesn't say God has love. It says God is love. Love is his nature. God is love. God created the entire universe. He created this planet, and he created the human race. Then he created you because he loves you. God made you so he could love you and so that you could love him. God's love for you is the reason your heart's beating right now. It's the reason you're breathing. God's good news is that he loves you on your bad days just as much as he loves you on your good days. He loves you when you can feel his love, and he loves you when you can't seem to feel his love. He loves you regardless of whether or not you think you deserve his love. There is nothing you can do that will make God love you more. You could try, but you simply can't do it because his love for you is based upon his character and not on anything else you do, say, or feel. God loves you so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, into this world. When Jesus stretched out his arms as wide as the cross, he was saying, I love you this much. I love you so much it hurts. I love you so much I'll die for you so that I won't have to live without you. Ephesians 3 says God's love is so wide, so long, so high and deep that humans can't fully understand it. And we're encouraged that as we go throughout our day to know that God is loving you at every moment, no matter what. Two verses. Galatians 4:4 through 7 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Notice those phrases. God sent forth his Son to redeem those, to receive adoption. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. Hallelujah. So that you're no longer a slave. You're an heir through God. Thank you, Lord. So reminding ourselves again, because God delights in you, and your land will be like a wedding celebration, for as young man marries his virgin bride, so your builder marries you, and as a bridegroom is happy in his bride, so your God is happy with you, because God delights in you, your God is happy with you. Let's pray. Father, we have been reminded today of this truth. It's hard for us to even wrap our brains around it at times because, Lord, so often we don't think of us in that light, that you delight yourself in your children, that you are happy with us because of who you are. And, Lord, we know that in your presence there is fullness of joy. And we do confess that in this world we have troubles and tribulations and fears and heartaches. But we are so thankful that you have overcome the world. You've overcome the world through your death on the cross. You've overcome the world through the resurrection and the empty tomb. You've overcome the world. You've ascended at the right hand of the Father, and you are overcoming the world, and you will return again, as you promised. And we look forward to that. But Lord, I pray in these moments now, as we enter into a time of communion to remember what you have done for us, Lord, I ask by the power of your Holy Spirit that you will plant that seed of your delight, of your joy, of your presence in our souls, that we know, no matter what, because we have a relationship with Jesus by faith. Not because we deserve it, not because we earn it, not because we're talented, not because we're gifted, only because of you. Because you are all loving. Because of you. You delight in us. Thank you that we can love you. Thank you that we can love you because you first loved us. So, Lord, we give this time to you. We ask your blessing. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name.